And also, it's just fun, you know? It's happy. It's a... Maybe happy is not the right word, but it's certainly more upbeat compared to...
Yeah, it's definitely not pop music, but it does have pop elements to it. It's very palatable.
Yeah. It's palatable. And I wanted to give a little palate cleanser before getting into some weirder, more... getting into some very strange tracks, right? For me, it was something I felt a bit comfortable with, and I'm happy with it. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah. Good.
But I definitely learned a lot from the process of recording it, mixing it, and will continue to implement those practices throughout the future recordings.
Yeah, do you want to touch on the process behind writing and producing it?
It's different for each song. Gotcha. It's also the same. I mean, I was just mixing a new Abby Roper track today and comparing that process and mix to Talking Casually, it's a vastly different process. So, yeah. Unfortunately, there's no one way to go about it. That would make my life and job a lot easier, but that's why it's art, right?
Yeah.
That's why music is an art form.
Absolutely.
It takes some struggle and it takes some adaptation.
Yeah. What's your favorite musical moment in That's Just Speed?
Oh. Let me think. I really like the outro. Mm. Yeah. I really like the whole that sort of goes on ad infinitum with a classic fade out at the end. The process behind that was my girlfriend Julie sang the background vocals for it, and I told her just to go crazy and have fun with it. You know, don't worry about singing the right notes. Especially, just once more with feeling. And I was listening back to the individual tracks, and there is some weird, weird stuff in there. But as a whole, it actually works quite well. The whole outro of the track gets very loosey-goosey and sloppy, which is intentionally how we recorded it. The rest of it was to a click. Specifically, and then when it got to the outro, we just, you know, turned off all the we recorded it in a way where, you know, it was a classic style of recording, I think. So I always get a kick out of that.
I think that classic is the right description. Is there anything that you would like listeners to take away from listening to it? And by the way, I'm not sure, I don't think that you can hear what we hear, but we just hit the la 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 part.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And I realized that the level might not have been high enough the first time that we went through that song. So I wouldn't complain listening to it again. I hope that anyone out there wouldn't complain about that either. So we're going to have that in the background.
If you want to play a different thing just to switch it up.
Sure. But I think that... Well, now that we've wrapped that song up, we have one last question of... what would you like listeners to take away from it? And then we will take a break and listen to your next song full volume so that everyone can experience it in full. And if you wanted to hear that last song that we just heard very quietly in the background, it's called That's Just Speed by Vero Strange. You can find it streaming on just about everything, right?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so... Pick your, how you have your choice of ways to listen to it. It'll be there. Enjoy it. It's a great song. This is Mellow Max. I'm joined by Vero Strange, Dan of Vero Strange.
Hello.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford. And yeah, so what would you like listeners to take away from that new single?
I would say the lyrics are, quite fun. I had a really fun time writing them. I mean, you know, I sort of like try to set a challenge for myself and rhyming the words cabbage and Spanish. I mean, how many songs have the word cabbage in them? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The lyrics are quite fun. I am working on trying to figure out a way to upload them to Spotify so you can actually read along with it. But
nice.
We'll see.
Yeah. I am always so bad at listening to lyrics.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
I know. It's not at the forefront, but as my family always says, stop playing with your words and eat them.
Mm.
You know, our whole family loves playing with, you know, doing some wordplay, and that follows through in my songwriting.
Nice. That is some good wordplay.
Mm.
Well, with that, I think the two of us should take a breather. Let's listen to your unreleased track, King of Dogs. Do you have anything to say to lead us into this track?
No, nothing at all.
Perfect. Let's hit it. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
I'm on one side. So very miserable. But that ain't new. They'll pay your honey.
All right, we are back. Dan, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right.
Can hear me.
I sure can hear you.
Beautiful.
Excellent. So, that one was unreleased. That was King of Dogs by Vero Strange. And there are so many gems in that song. And I want to ask you if there's anything that you would like to draw attention to in particular. I personally love the section right around three minutes and 10 seconds leading up to and including that scream. To me, it sounds a lot like Toad from Mario. And I got to ask.
Super Mario.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, are you talking about the final scream? Like the, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, actually, I'll go and we can hear it again.
No, I think, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's at I scrolled right to it without even seeing where we were. All right, great. Let's hear it. Yeah.
Ah, there it is. Yeah.
That scream is so, oh, it's so good.
It does sound like Toad now that you say it. that was me. I couldn't really speak for the next day after recording just that one little bit. But yeah, just gave it my all, you know.
Yeah. No, that scream is incredible.
Thank you.
I mean, have you seen that? I should
make a video where it's like just that sound bit, and then just a picture of Toad.
Yeah. And for those of you who might think that it sounds familiar but can't put your finger on who Toad is, that's the character from Super Mario with like the red and white toadstool mushroom hat thing head. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a I don't remember her name, but there's a woman on TikTok, I guess, who does metal music as Toad.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
The drummer.
Yeah.
The drummer who sings like Toad and plays incredible metal drums at the same time.
Yeah.
It's quite a sight to see.
Yeah. When I heard that, I was like, it immediately made me think of that.
Maybe I would send the song to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Just channeling it. So yeah. And that's one of my favorite moments. Do you have any favorite moments that you would like to draw attention to?
I really like, there's a part, I believe it's in the second verse, right before the second chorus, the pre-chorus, where it was my drummer, myself, and a couple of other. I think actually Abby Roper might have sang on that track, in the background, doing the kind of choral, almost Greek tragedy-esque operatic, like all that. That's probably one of my favorite moments. It's a big build-up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, how did you come up with the name King of Dogs? Is there anything that you would like to talk about the background of this track?
A little bit of a sensitive subject
for sure, and if you don't want to get into it, that's a-okay.
No, I mean, all I'll say is it's about feelings of I tried to with this upcoming EP as a general formula to try and follow. It was taking the stages of grief and turning them into their individual songs. It probably won't actually come across in the final product, but that was my thinking about it. And I forget which stage King of Dogs was. It might have been like Denial or something like that. All songs are personal. All songs are about love, even when they're not.
Damn. Whoa. What's that mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
That thought was pretty out there.
Thank you. I guess.
What role would you say experimentation plays in your music?
A lot.
Yeah.
A big one. A big one. The start and the end. I mean, there are some songs where, the first idea just sticks, and then there are some where, I mean, King of Dogs, like that last song specifically, probably went through, I'm gonna guess, 13 different versions of the song, which, if I were to look, like, they were wildly different from one another. Completely different lyrics, completely different chord structure, different instruments. So that track took quite a while because I was going after chasing a specific feeling which I couldn't find until, you know, the 14th time through it. So experimentation is everything.
Yeah. Has a big role, and it comes across. It's very, it's different, and that's something that is feeling rarer and rarer in music these days.
I agree. Yeah. Maybe it's not rarer and rarer, but whoever does do it doesn't necessarily get the same platform as people who don't. I'm not saying that about me, but about every other artist who makes some wildly left field music and deserve the same respect as, you know, any big pop artist. But
yeah.
That's a whole other conversation. Well, you know,
it's not that far off. Why do you think that is? Do you think, like, is streaming one of the causes of that?
Yeah. Streaming, and also the fact that I was watching this video a couple of days ago where publicity and promotion is now the artist's or the musician's responsibility. And even to reframe that idea to something like 10 years ago, it's like, do you think Tom York would be on TikTok promoting a song being like, I think I just wrote the song of the summer, ooh woo, you know, like, no, of course not. Yeah, because the people who write, you know, like Tom York, who is also in
You were cutting out a little bit there.
Oh, can you hear me again?
Crystal clear.
Okay, perfect. Tom York, who is also a big influence, it's to circle back on the first question. You know, it's like, we're weird, kind of antisocial people. That's why we write music, because that's how we know how to express ourselves. We don't express ourselves via social media that way. And if your brain power is spent on doing that, you have less brain power to spend on writing kind of out there music, if that makes sense. That's my opinion. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's my opinion.
No, I mean, that. I think that sounds, makes sense.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think?
Oh man. I think that there's I've actually been thinking about this a lot, because I've been like, when my Spotify Wrapped numbers came out this year, I was like, wow, that is like half as many minutes as I listened to Spotify last year. And I know that I've been listening to a lot of music, and it's because no one keeps track of how much time you spend listening to the radio. And I think radio is, I mean, I might be biased here, but I think that radio is really a lost art. There are many, many people out there doing a fantastic job of it, but it's a hidden gem perhaps.
Yeah, especially for the younger generations.
Yeah, right?
Including us.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's such a good way to find music, and it's like it's kind of like on social media. Everyone has their own media bubble. Everyone has their own music bubble on Spotify. It gives you the music that it knows you will like. It doesn't challenge you. It doesn't really, I mean, it tries with your Discover Weekly, but it's not like, you're not listening, you're listening to your own music still. You're not listening to someone else's music.
Right. That's a really good way to put it. And I sincerely hope to God that radio makes a comeback in a big way. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing right now, for anybody who's listening, this is step one.
Yeah. And actually, now that you've mentioned that, I will just, for any of you listening, if you're enjoying this interview, I'm planning a bunch of interviews coming up. I'm not going to not drop any names until I have dates, but there's some bands that I'm really excited to have in the studio or on the phone, and I would like to really expand my show and make time to talk with local artists and people in the scene, everyone from musicians to sound techs to videographers to local artists, playwrights, anyone who's creative and in Boston and has something that they want to promote. If that's you, feel free to reach out to me at max@wmfo.org. If you have a friend who that might be, or if there's anyone that you just like and want to have on the radio, I would love to give more people a platform, get more people on the airwaves. And yeah. From here at humble old WMFO.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody should do that. Max is the best interviewer.
Woo! Oh, shucks. But this is also, I mean, I've been here for 7 years, but everyone's growing and learning. And I'm trying to become a better interviewer, and there's only one way to do it. So come on my show, get your friends to come on. I'd love to improve along with all of you guys. Makes things more fun for everyone.
Come on down.
And speaking of improving on things, how do you feel that your sound has evolved and matured over your time as a musician?
I think it's probably just complexity of arrangement. Not that complexity is inherently a good thing or an improvement, but complexity in the sense that, why does one, not that I actually know any music theory, I don't, but why does anybody learn that? It's just tools to try to get what sounds inside your head outside your head. And I've done better. I hope throughout the years of writing. Yeah. And working towards a, like, my sound, big air quotations, my sound, which is not something that I don't think for anybody, any musician ever, is actually intentional. It's just something which naturally forms over time. Yeah. At least I hope. That's.
Yeah, everyone's growing. Everyone's So,
what else is there to do?
Yeah, I'm really excited to play another one of your songs. The choice is yours. Would you like to play the song that you sent me yesterday, or the song that you sent me minutes ago?
You're the DJ.
Well, I haven't heard the new one. Of course, I want to hear the new one. But I also really
that's right.
Yeah, it's brand new to me. It'll be the first time I'm hearing it. Okay. I know that I like the other one that you sent me. I'd like to play them both. Which one would you like next?
I will say, keep in mind that both of these are capital D demos.
Oh yeah,
they're not mixed or probably even recorded right, but. It's good enough. We're live.
Woo.
Maybe do a Making Moves for a little bit of a palate cleanser since it's short and sweet.
Cool. This will be my first time hearing it. We'll be back after the song. Here goes. Ooh. We should be back. Can everyone hear me? Can you hear me, Dan? Yes. Okay. Yes. I can hear me. Great.
I'm the only.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are other people listening. I just can't hear back from them.
Can't hear back.
Well, that was really cool. That was Making Moves, unreleased by Vero Strange. Thank you so much for giving us all of these. I mean, you guys couldn't hear it, but in the break, Dan thanked me for playing this music, and I just want to thank him for providing us with these demos.
Thank you again. Thank you so much. Like,
my pleasure.
It means a lot, and God bless Freeform for having the ability to play, you know, just unreleased random stuff, right?
Yeah.
Only on Freeform, baby.
Woo woo. You know, there's a song that you made our freshman year of college, where you remixed a sample from one of my radio shows me talking. I do have that.
No way. I'm not even, I don't even remember it, so.
I know, you've said that every single time I've played it for you.
I've said that every single time.
Yeah, I've probably played it for you like 3 times since 2016, so don't feel too bad. That's like a good 1.5 year spacing at least.
That's a long time. It's almost 2024 now, so.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I can't even. All right, sure.
We don't have to play that immediately. And it's a strange one. We can save that for like right at the end of the show.
I'm sure it is.
But I like to imagine that you just did it like late one night in a fever dream. Because probably. The whole thing kind of, I mean, it's like it was your attempt at psytrance.
It was fun. You did a great job. Because I don't.
You know. Yeah. That's a good question. You'd have to ask Max freshman year. The answer might not be any different than it is today. Yeah, so that was cool. I definitely hear the comparisons that people are making to Bowie.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, it was funny when I played one of your songs for a friend of mine, and she was like, do you have any videos of him talking? I really want to hear what his voice sounds like compared to his singing voice. And it stays there. You have a nice, solid baritone voice.
Do you have videos of me talking?
Not really. Yeah. I was looking for pictures of us together. I only have one photo of just the two of us.
Is that the Pizza Fest?
It is the WMFO Pizza Fest.
Classic.
Jumbo Days. Yeah, that's a fun one.
I know.
Yeah. I have good group photos, but...
No, I barely have any photos from college, you know. If it wasn't for those few photos, there would be no record of that I actually ever existed, which is how I'd like to keep it.
All right, well, other than your musical legacy.
Sure.
Aw. No, yeah, definitely a musical legacy. Definitely some solid photos. I have a great video of you, doing a bit from Eric Andre that we're not going to talk about any further.
And we also have that one video of in your dorm room when I was making that vegetable smoothie.
Oh yes, no, that was Alexis's dorm room.
Oh, that was Alexis's dorm room, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shout out to Alexis.
Woo woo! When she saw my story, she was like, oh, "Is Dan in Boston?" I was like, "No."
Also, shout out to Spencer, my drummer. I just want to say a big shout out to him.
Spencer. Are there any other band members that you would like to mention?
Right now, it's just me and Spencer.
Cool.
Django, who did the mastering for That's Just Speed, and may potentially be the bassist. Shout out to you, Django. That's it at the moment. And Julie, of course, doing the vocals. She may be the keyboard player in the future if we ever perform live, which we're planning on. So yeah.
excellent. Speaking of performing live, to you, what makes a good, like, what's like a dream gig? What makes it good? What does it look like when you're performing? And on the other side of the aisle, what's a good gig feel like when you're watching a gig?
That is a really good question. Dream gig, it really, I mean, it could be anywhere, you know. It could be a basement, it could be Madison Square Gardens. A good gig is just when you feel energy. You could be in the biggest venue and there would be a lack of energy and it would feel just as bad as if you had a lack of energy in a smaller venue, right? Or busking on the subway or something like that. Dreamgate, yeah, it's just about energy. I mean, encores are always fun, I will say. That's when you know it's a good gig, if folks actually want an encore. And how does it feel to watch a good gig? I very much appreciate it. That's actually why, like, I reached out to Abby Roper in the first place, because one of my other jobs is doing live sounds at venues and such. And the show that they threw was so impressive to me, so well written, obviously rehearsed, and just professional, that I had to go up to them afterwards and say, hey, if you ever want a recording engineer, please let me know. And that's the whole story about it. But obviously the composition of the songs is important, but also the composition of the flow of energy within a set, I think makes or breaks it to me. You know, I think the music should speak for itself. Paramount.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you have, I know that we shouldn't reveal any trade secrets, or too much stagecraft, but do you have any thoughts on, like, encore strategies? Because there are so many different ones. One of my favorites, I saw someone come out. This was when I saw Stella Donnelly, and she was so charming and, like, truly, sincerely happy to be called back out for an encore. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. That doesn't work for everyone. Not everyone can pull that off. Yeah. But yeah, so what are your thoughts on Encore?
I mean, I don't know if I've ever even had an Encore. So I don't know if I'm the right person to ask about this. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know. I guess you're right. Like, just A, being charming, and B, giving a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, who knows? If you know trade secrets, like, please spill them on air. I'll write them down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If anyone has any, Encore or other, if any musicians out there are listening and want to join in, you can message at wmfo.org/DJ-chat, or you can call in at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. I'm going to do a quick PSA, and then I want to hear more from Dan about his time here at WMFO. Here's some numbers to think about. Prescription drugs versus medical marijuana deaths. The number of Americans that die each day from an accidental overdose of prescription drugs is 54. The number of human beings that have died from an overdose of medical marijuana in all of recorded history? Zero. A message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. There you go. Educate yourself. And expand your mind any way you want to. Get edumacated. Speaking of education, do you have any fun jumbo or WMFO anecdotes or fun memories even that you would like to share?
I have a lot of fun WMFO memories and definitely a lot of fun Tufts memories. But since we're on WMFO, I figure it would be better to talk about that. Actually, it's kind of a strange. I was thinking about this the other day, but back in the college days, I was one of the co-directors of the recording studio there, with Benny Ruver, who is the synth player for Wafak. And I had a lot of great memories. That's probably what turned me on in the first place to actually enjoying this, to actually pursue it as a career. And also I remember it might have been freshman or sophomore year, but there is this one fire escape balcony, at the far end. And I remember jamming on there with, Sean and Trevor LaVecchia, just having a good old time on a summer's day. And yeah, that definitely sticks out. Also, the meetings were quite fun.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed the WMFO board meetings.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great group of people. It was fun to hang out with everyone. By the way, yeah. you're sounding a little bit far from the mic, but I did want to... I think this probably happened maybe our sophomore or junior year when they alarmed that fire escape.
I know. It's so sad, right?
Tragic. It's tragic. So many good memories on that fire escape.
Right.
Has
anybody actually ever tested it, though?
Yeah, it's a silent alarm, and TUPD will come.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What if you go up from the other end?
You can what?
What if you go up from the other end? From the bottom? Well, there's no alarm there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could always go outside and climb up the outside of the fire escape, but you can't get back inside.
Right, you would have to climb back down.
Which, it's not a bad place if you just want... It's, like, the best view off... Tufts, you would have a great view of the brand new Green Line station. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they extended the Green Line, and there's now a Green Line stop right where the commuter rail is.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Right.
For me.
I mean, it's kind of awful. They made the trail. They made the tracks the wrong size. It's a whole hullabaloo. But
the Green Line was never never. Very reliable. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The black sheep of the different, you know, Boston subway stops. I mean, I know because I had to take the Green Line to SMFA.
Right.
And there were many, many a times I completely missed class because it stopped in the middle of the road for no reason.
Yeah.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. Exactly. Yeah. So now you live in New York. a place with much better public transit usually. I mean,
arguably,
yes. Yeah. Is there anything that you miss about Boston?
I don't want to have to answer this.
Well, you did mention the Alston basement scene. So if you want to go with that.
Yeah. That one night, the Alston basement scene, I missed that. I mean,
But that one night.
I really shouldn't be saying this since it's a Boston radio station.
I mean, hey, I'm a New Yorker. I think that I probably spend enough time talking. But hey, I've lived here for 7 years. I'm stuck here. I'm as much as I love New York and would love to live in New York at some point soon. It's not going to be all that soon. I'll get there eventually. Right.
I'm just a night owl, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to go find something at 1 a.m. That's pretty much it. Yeah. I miss the springtime. And also generally I would say Somerville as a town had some kind of dreamlike quality of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just, you know, my memory, but
no, yeah.
I do miss that dreamlike quality.
It was definitely... There are magical things about this area.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that... You know that... I'm gonna mess this up. Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, like, right along the Mystic River. Tufts owned grandma's house at one point.
What?
Yeah. And not only that, but so I'm in Curtis Hall right now.
Yeah.
The guy Curtis was a shipbuilder. His brother,
Mr. Curtis himself,
the other Mr. Curtis, owned that house. That was his house.
Wow. That's why it's called Curtis?
They were both notable people. I guess I don't know how they were related to grandma of grandmother's house, but they were related to her. So that's a little bit of a...
Maybe she was their grandmother. Maybe. Or maybe her last name was grandma, which would be a pretty unusual last name, especially when she was like 20-something years old.
Yeah, that would be very confusing in many ways.
Anywho. It is 8:43.
Yes. I would like to play a couple more songs that you've sent me, but I also want to ask, are there a couple of local New York City versus New York City / Brooklyn bands that you feel your music fits in with that you would like to open for or share a bill with in another way? Or just other local bands that you would like to shout out?
There's so many local bands that I would love to shout out. Obviously, Abby Roper. I would like to open for them one day. I would say my friend Frank, who has a group for his project called Morning Silk, is also fantastic. Sid Simons, who I'm also friends with, and they're doing very well right now. Go listen to their music. I'd love to open for them one day. There's countless people. I don't know if my music would be a good fit opening for any of them, but it would just be nice to share the stage.
Very nice. And now I have plenty of other artists to look into. Always looking for music recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is pretty much all that I've got. With your blessing, is it all right if I play Year of the Doormat next?
You are blessed.
Oh, thank you. And is there anything that you would like to say about this track?
Nope.
Fantastic. With that, we're going to hear Year of the Doormat. And Dan, if you want to tune in online after Year of the Doormat, I'm going to play Zig Zaggy Monsters.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, which is the song that you made way back when, freshman year, with a sample of me on air.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Do you have any final words?
It's just been a pleasure, and thank you so much for
drafting up all those great questions. Thank you, WMFO. Good night.
Good night. All right. And I must say, the pleasure's been all mine. Thank you again to Dan from Vero Strange. If you want to hear that interview again, the archive is going to be up on the WMFO website for 2 weeks. And then I'm working on a website for my radio show. I think that it's linked if you go to WMFO.org and click on the timestamp next to any of the songs that I've played. Nope, it doesn't come up there. If you go to the calendar, the schedule then, and find Highly Recommended with Mellow Max and click on that, there will be a, and then click on Mellow Max. Yeah. There's a link to my website, which you can go visit. I'm going to try and get a transcript up there of this interview. And I have several past interviews that I also want to get transcripts of up. And I will also be announcing future interviews on that website and on my Instagram, which is linked on that website. Coming up next, Vero Strange with Year of the Doormat.
Thank you so much, Max. Oh, hi. I thought, oh, yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that. It was a little behind the scenes.
And then my mic was off. Oh, I was all over the place there. Dan, did you have anything else to say? I forgot that.
No,
I didn't hang up.
No, I thought we were off the air.
Okay, cool. Anyway, here's the song. Let's do this right. Here we go. You're the Doormat.
Come on in. Come on in.
All right. This is Mellow Max, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you so much again to Dan from Vero Strange for joining me. And those last couple of songs, we had World Federal Organization Club, Dan's band from when he was here at Tufts with IOU. And before that was Zigzaggy Monsters, a sample of me made into a song by Dan back in our freshman year, 2017. And now I have to hand the reins over to On the Town with Mikey D. But again, this has been highly recommended. If you want, I'm trying to do more interviews on my show. So don't go anywhere. I hope that you guys enjoy. And, you know, I'm going to keep talking and then I'll just start the CD for you. That work? Instead of, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to play 20 seconds. I was going to play a David Bowie song, but yeah, anyway. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the interview. It'll be up on my website. Do you guys, if you have any good AI apps to transcribe interviews, hit me up at max@wmfo.org. Here's On the Town with Mikey D.